said, glaring. Unkillable.
Indeed, he drawled. Should have plied you with liquor instead of wasting two commands on you. But to your point, these brands make me almost unkillable, too.
I poked him where I could feel the hard lines of the weapon in his coat. That demon bone in your eyes can kill you. He gave me a jaunty smile.
Yes, but when people see a vampire, they reach for silver, not demon bone.
What? I demanded when his voice trailed off. His smile faded, too, and when he crouched down. When had he lowered me onto the ground? I didn't remember that. He looked serious. What? I repeated. But from the jolt thrumming through my veins, I knew. I'd let slip too many clues and he'd figured it out. If not all of it, enough of it. Maybe I'd always known he would piece it together. That's why I didn't stop him when he lifted my hand and brought it to his lips. A courtly gesture, but there was nothing chivalrous in his gaze. It burned with the intensity of a predator making a kill. His warm lips touched my skin. Then his fangs slowly pierced my flesh. The bite was shallow, just enough to draw twin pearls of blood that stood out like rubies against the golden topaz of my skin. Then his long, slow lick erased them, and I felt him shudder as he swallowed. I closed my eyes. Now you know I'm not only a vampire. Oh, it's been so long since I shared this secret with anyone. My eyes snapped open when that internal ping went off again. Shayla must be crossing beneath me once more. Since she was going in the opposite direction, she must have completed her task. We needed to move. Whatever you want to say, it can wait, I said, suddenly feeling a lot more sober. Have to storm the castle. He glanced where the bridge was, despite it still being hidden from our view.
Best wait until later, when there are fewer people to stop us.
Not that castle. I pointed over his shoulder. Belvedere.
You should have stayed back, Ian muttered for the second time. I've done this before, and let me assure you, Red Dragon sources are guarded more securely than Fort Knox. Besides, you're so drunk you can barely walk.
Can still fight, I told him. It would have sounded more badass if I hadn't ended my boast with a loud burp, but oh well. Quit complaining and let's do this. Then I jumped up and kicked the boulder in front of me with both feet. The tunnel was behind it, I could feel it. But while the boulder smashed as if hit by a wrecking ball, it didn't break through the magic-infused shell around the tunnel. An alarm began to blare, and it wasn't just the painful ringing in my head after that exertion. Ian pushed me back before I could react. Then he swiftly executed a series of hand movements. The shell in front of us shattered beneath his spell, revealing the tunnel behind it. Nice! He really was superb with tactile magic. He threw a grin at me as he ran inside the tunnel.
You should see what else I can do with my hands.
I left that alone and stumbled after him, cursing when my legs wouldn't move in smooth, coordinated strides like his.
Don't bother, he said,
whirling around to stop me in mid-stagger.
We need someone to stay here and stop anyone who comes down the other end of that tunnel. You can still do magic?
Course, I said, affronted.
Then you stay.
I wanted to argue, but we did need to prevent getting boxed in. Plus, my body might not be cooperating, but my magic would still work.
Hopefully.
I nodded and sat down right where I'd been standing. Go on. Yell if you need help.
I won't,
he said, and disappeared down the next bend. Almost at once, I heard what sounded like explosions, then the sharp sound of screams. The tunnel shuddered as the screams abruptly cut off and a rolling cloud of dust filled the air. Another quickly silenced round of screams rang out, then another blast that made the walls tremble. Finally, a shockwave of magic rolled down the tunnel. It diminished with distance, but when it reached me, it was still strong enough to sting. What kind of supernatural firepower had Ian walked into? Ian! I yelled, staggering to my feet. I'm coming!
Stay there!
I heard him shout, and was shocked at how maniacally cheerful he sounded.
I've got this!
Ian had done all that? I had to admit I wanted to see the specifics for myself, but then I heard running footsteps coming from the other end of the tunnel and remembered what I was supposed to be doing. Right, blocking the spell. I started formulating it, frustrated when something that should have come easily now felt as if it took all of my concentration. Damn that red dragon! It was kicking my ass worse than any opponent had in recent memory. When the group of guards came into view, the blocking spell still wasn't ready. If I were acting in my official capacity, I would identify myself as a law guardian, arrest them, then take them before the council for holding someone hostage in order to produce an illegal substance. But Ian's spell-sealed command meant I could do none of that. In my intoxicated state, I wasn't even sorry. You, I said, pointing at the first two vampires while quickly working up a much simpler spell. Meld. They shot toward each other, as if pulled by a magnetic superconductor. Then their bodies melded together until they were one double-sized torso, two heads, and eight limbs. Meld, 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 I said, pointing at the next three. They smashed into the flesh mass with the same force. Soon all the limbs going in different directions made the flesh mass continually fall over, right itself, and fall over again. What do you remind me of? I wondered, cocking my head. Vampire centipede? No, wait, vampire slinky. The last two vampire guards were now backing away. I wagged my finger at them. Meld, meld. They screamed as they joined the pile. Their cries and the other guards howling made me wince. Oh, stop. This will wear off in a few hours. You should hear what's going on at the other end of the tunnel. That sounded permanent. The hulking, howling mass of vampires might be making my head pound, but it served to scare off the next group of guards who ran down the tunnel. I gave an approving nod as they ran the other way after seeing what had become of their friends. But one more guard came down the tunnel and didn't stop when he saw the writhing, rolling vampire mass. Instead, he threaded his way around it to stand opposite me. I didn't have time for this. I still had to finish my blocking spell, which was taking forever. Your friends who ran were smart, I told him. Be like them and leave. He bared his fangs at me. You don't scare me, witch. I know spells, too. And he began to recite the beginning of a lethal curse. Couldn't have him do that while in the vampire slinky. Or was it centipede? Whatever. My killing spell's faster, I said, flicking my hand in an old tactile spell. Splats. He blew apart, but only in sections instead of goo like he should have. I frowned. My strength must be waning. Hopefully it was because I was channeling enough of it to fuel the blocking spell. That was the far more important one. And when have I fallen? Last I checked, I'd been sitting, but now I was lying on the tunnel floor and my skull hurt as if a team of miners were drilling for gold. Worse, I could feel more people coming from the opposite end of the tunnel. From the swell of magic preceding them, they were true-born witches. I had to get this blocking spell done now. I cast about for an additional energy source. Couldn't do it from the trueborns or practitioners in the castle. Magic bonded to its owner. But there was something near. Yes, the pond. How did I not think of drawing energy from water before now? Being drunk sucked. I was pulling everything I could from the nearby pond when Ian came into view. He was covered in blood and dirt, and his tuxedo was ripped in several places. But what really puzzled me was the bundle in his arms. It was the size of a burlap bag and smelled like demon, and the shot glasses of red dragon I'd drunk. What's that? He gave a brief, admiring look at the carnage beyond me before answering. The source.
Weren't exaggerating about painting the walls, were you? And what is that?
Vampire slinky, I said dismissively. Or centipede? What do you mean, the source?
It was a baby?
Horror filled me and I nearly vomited all the red dragon I'd consumed.
Not a baby, he said with a grunt. Not human either. Looks like a winged dog demon.
Then he shifted so he had one arm free to haul me up.
Can you walk?
I stood but immediately sagged. My strength had been spent between the spells and drinking myself stupid. Ian caught me before I hit the ground, then hoisted me over his shoulder.
Faster this way, anyway,
he muttered. He ran out of the tunnel right as I finally finished the blocking spell. It sealed the tunnel off so no one could enter or leave it. It also formed a seal over the hidden bridge and the magical castle. Now no one could leave any of those places for at least an hour. We should be long gone by then, unless... I hoped I hadn't underestimated the supernatural juice I'd put into the spell. If so, it might only keep everyone trapped for minutes. I was so drunk I couldn't tell how much I'd put into it. I actually thought I might pass out, and that was with being repeatedly bounced on Ian's shoulders as he ran over the uneven ground. He made good time, though. Within moments, the Fifth Avenue entrance of Central Park was in view. Then Ian stopped so abruptly I was catapulted over his shoulders. I didn't hit the ground, though. I was caught midair in what felt like a giant, sticky spider web. What fresh hell is this? I demanded.
My thoughts exactly,
a cool voice answered in Mandarin. I froze. I knew that voice, could pick it out from thousands. Shun Cheng, what are you doing here? Chapter 19. Ian didn't wait for a response. He held up his hand, ignoring my scream of stop, and flung a spell at Shun Cheng. I threw a protective spell at the same time. She flew backward from the impact of Ian's spell, and for a few horrified seconds, I didn't know if he'd succeeded in killing her. Then Shun Cheng sat up, her waist-length black hair falling out of her normally impeccable bun. A large, rapidly healing hole was in her chest. I could smell the burning scent of silver, but my protection spell must have protected her heart.
You, she said to Ian with icy fury. For the crime of using magic to attack a Law Guardian, I sentence you to death.
No, I shouted. It's not what you think. He's with me. She tilted her head and gave me a look that normally heralded someone's instant decapitation.
And you are?
Right, she had never seen me in this appearance before.
Veritas,
I said, straining against the invisible web that held me, but unable to move.
It's Veritas, Shun Cheng.
Winged black brows went up, then the smallest of frowns touched her mouth.
The Veritas I know would never allow herself to be caught in so obvious a trap.
That's true, but I'm really, really drunk. Then I got one of Ian's hands sliding behind his back. He was about to use tactile magic to hurl another spell at her.
Don't, I said. She's a friend, Ian.
She set a magical trap that nearly caught all of us, he replied in a silky tone. And she just threatened to kill me.
She didn't know you were my partner in tonight's secret raid, I said in the strongest tone I could muster. We just shut down a major red dragon supplier and killed its source, I lied. That's why I'm drunk. I had to sample lots of the product in order to get to the right people.
To Ian's credit, not a hint of disbelief showed in his features at my string of lies. Instead, he gave a jaunty bow to Shun Cheng.
Always happy to do my civic duty.
And this?
Shun Cheng said, gesturing to the bloody, blanket-clad bundle.
What is this? It reeks of red dragon.
Ian must have dropped the source right before he flung that spell at Shun Cheng. I didn't know what sort of creature was in that blanket. Winged dog demon, Ian had called it. But if Shun Cheng saw anything she deemed threatening, she would kill it. Or she would bring it to the council and the creature's fate would be the same. Either way, I couldn't allow that.
Someone had a baby there. Probably to use its blood to mix with the sources, I said quickly. It smells like red dragon because the source bled all over it when he died.
While speaking, I pushed through my inebriated senses to direct a single command toward that swaddled bundle as Shun Cheng approached it.
Baby,
I thought fiercely when she was almost close enough to pick it up.
Turn into a human baby.
An ear-splitting shriek sounded when Shun Cheng reached down and picked up the bundle. Then I almost whooped in relief when she drew back the bloody blanket and revealed pale human skin and two tiny babyish fists waving in fury. Shun Cheng winced as the baby kept screaming. Whatever you take this, she said, with a jerk of her head. That's when I realized she wasn't alone. Two enforcers came out from behind the trees about 20 meters away. Neither looked anxious to take the squalling baby, but they didn't dare refuse her. I'll take it, I said at once. There's a baby drop at the fire station not far from here. I'll leave the child there.
Until then, do I have permission to stop it from screaming?
The dark-haired male asked Shun Chong. She let out a short laugh.
You could try, but you would fail.
Babies' wills are too focused to be affected by our mind control. Humans are only susceptible when they're older. Then her dark brown gaze swung my way. Prove to me you're very tossed beneath that grammar. What birthday gift did you last give me? Even though I was still reeling, I didn't need time to think. A jade bracelet from the First Imperial Dynasty. Ian whistled through his teeth.
You two must be special friends to warrant a gift like that.
Shun Chong stabbed a finger at him, even though she didn't take her eyes off me.
Unless you don't want to live long enough to appeal your death sentence before the council, be silent.
Shun Chong, I told you he was with me.
It shouldn't have been, she said curtly.
Only enforcers or guardians are around on raids of this level.
Think you can take me somewhere against my will?
Ian's smile was an open dare.
Try it, and I'll kill you.
Shun Chong drew her sword, and the ancient, elegant steel caught the moonlight. Then she tilted it, and a pale line appeared across Ian's throat. As was her custom, she'd marked the spot she intended to sever. Shun Chong, no! I said, a crazy thought occurring to me. Ian had every right to be here as my backup. Shun Chong didn't relax her stance.
What raw protects him as you claim?
I gulped in a breath of air. I needed to help get out this monstrosity of a lie. The law giving spouses permission to go anywhere their husband or wife is.
What?
Ian said, with all the disbelief Shun Chong showed.
No. Shun Chong breathed. He cannot be your husband.
I tried to laugh, but it came out as a high-pitched giggle. We were going to wait to tell everyone, but saving his life takes priority over spoiling the surprise.
The surprise?
Ian repeated, his tone bordering on shrill. I laughed again, and it was worse. Cackling witches would envy what had come out of my mouth. Don't mind him, he's still getting used to matrimony. But as my husband, he's allowed to go anywhere I go. That's why he was my backup tonight. I taught him that spell in case I got into trouble, which he had every reason to believe when you caught me in that web, and failed to identify yourself as a law guardian. Finally, Ian got over his horror enough to understand where I was going with this. He still looked rattled, but he stopped arguing. Shun Chong didn't.
I know who he is, she said flatly. I find it hard to believe you would lower yourself to marry one such as he.
Anger flashed in Ian's gaze. Then it vanished and he smiled with luxuriant sensuality.
You'd be amazed at what I can get people to do.
Your wiles are wasted on me, Shun Chong said coldly.
Obviously.
He continued in the same purr.
You're too hot for Veritas. While I'd normally find that arousing, I don't share what's mine. So?
He flicked his fingers in a clear translation of back off. Shun Chong gave him another withering look before returning her gaze to me.
I understand why you wouldn't tell the council. But why would you keep news of your matrimony from me?
I heard the slight waver in her voice at that last word and felt awful. I hated lying to her. Shun Chong was precious to me. But that was the point. I couldn't risk her life if they fought. I also couldn't risk Ian being brought before the council. He'd say something worthy of death within 5 minutes. Lying was the best way out of this, and while it hurt her, it also saved her. And him. That mattered more than anyone's temporary discomfort.
I knew you wouldn't approve, I said softly.
She blinked and it could have been a trick of the moonlight, but I thought I saw a tear. Then her lovely expression hardened.
Prove to me he's your husband.
You want to interrogate the marriage ceremony witnesses?
If so, who could I get to say they were there?
No.
Repeat your vows,
Shun Chong stated.
Now. Shun Chong.
My voice was sharp from the dread erupting in me.
You ask too much. You know how I cherish my privacy.
He doesn't, she said, using her sword to point in Ian's direction.
I've seen one of his many internet videos. You ask me to ignore a magical attempt on my life, and you bringing a civilian to a high-level raid. I cannot do that without proof. If he is what you say he is, why hesitate to repeat your vows?
Ian's gaze swung towards me. The horror it contains made my body turn to ice. He was going to refuse. Then Shun Chong was going to raise her sword, and Ian would conjure up a killing spell, and I couldn't get between them because I was stuck in this damn web. Panic swelled until I vibrated from it. I had to stop him before he blasted apart our only attempt to resolve this without someone dying. Freeze, I thought urgently, trying to wield the necessary power out of myself. For the love of all the gods, freeze! Chapter 20. My power spilled out, not in its usual flash, but like a fog rolling in, from how drunk and depleted I was. For a few moments I watched as Ian's mouth opened to protest, and Shun Chong's sword started rising. Then they slowed until they both froze where they were. I wasn't sure I'd summoned enough power to encapsulate more than the two of them, until I saw the brunette enforcer freeze in mid-ball scratch, and the other enforcer's head stay half-angled, so she could get a better look at Ian's ass. The only one that wasn't frozen was the creature in the bloody blanket. Tiny arms continued to beat at the air, while its wails made my head feel like it would split open. It proved Ian was right, though. Only demons and other demon kin were immune to this type of magic. I freed Ian from his stasis and started talking fast. I can't hold this for long, so be reasonable. I don't like the thought of marrying you, but we have to do this. Would you rather die?
Yes,
he said at once. Okay, I hadn't been expecting that intractable of a response. But it's not like the marriage will be real.
Repeating vows in front of witnesses makes it real.
He began to pace in front of where I was stuck. He also kept giving Shun Chong's frozen form several dangerous looks.
Why don't we just leave? She certainly can't stop us now. As if I hadn't thought of that. Sure, pull me out of this web and let's get going.
He tried and began cursing when his first touch caused the same impossibly sticky strands to latch onto his hand and not let go. Soon he was using every magic trick he knew in an attempt to free himself, and his hand still remained stuck.
Not as easy as you thought, is it?
I said sarcastically. This spell can only be revoked by the same person who cast this, and I know because I taught it to her. He gave me a fraught look.
But vampires can never divorce. Worse, our laws say you can kill anyone I shag.
Oh, now you care about the laws.
I care about my freedom.
Instantly.
It's all I have left.
I seized on that.
That's right, one of us will probably die before this thing with Dagon is over, so you're not sacrificing your freedom if that turns out to be me. And if it's me, I'd die a married man.
He shuddered.
I'd rather take my chances in a fight with her.
The outline around my small-time bubble began to waver. Soon it would drop. I might only have seconds left.
And if she kills you, you'll go straight to hell. Or have you forgotten Dagon's claim on your soul?
He gave Shun Chong another withering look.
She can't kill me because of Dagon's brands on me.
She's a 2,000-year-old law guardian who knows about demon brands.
When her sword won't do the trick, she'll stab your eyes out with the demon bone she always carries on her. Not if I kill her first,
he replied darkly.
You can't,
I said, anguish gripping me at the thought. A harsh smile curled his lips.
So I was right about you two. Seems you broke your no vampires rule for her.
Appealing to his reason and residual sense of mercy wasn't working. I had to make a play for his selfishness instead. Let's say you do kill her. You'd also have to kill the enforcers, too, since they'd never let her death go unavenged. Then you'd have guardians, enforcers, and the council screaming for your blood, plus a pissed-off demon on your tail. Even if I didn't leave you to them for murdering my friend, and I would, how long do you think we'd last with that kind of heat on us? Is being technically married to me worth losing your soul and forfeiting your long-awaited revenge against Dagon? At last I could tell I'd hit a nerve, but that stubbornness didn't leave his expression. Well? I pressed. He gave me a hostile look.
I'm thinking. The spell's going to drop, I warned him.
Another glare.
And I said, I'm still thinking.
I was shaking all over trying to keep this area frozen. All the strain made nausea rocket up in my throat.
Even if we both survive, I won't enforce my claim on you, I said desperately.
In fact, the first thing I'll do is drop you back at that bordello in Poland and order you a new carnival orgy, promise! Then I threw up, spraying a stream of crimson all over him as I lost my fight against the nausea. See, I managed when I finished puking. Vow sealed with a blood oath. He looked down at himself in disgust.
This is everything I knew marriage would be.
I'll take that as a yes, I muttered, and gratefully let the spell drop. Chun Chong appeared startled to suddenly find Ian behind her instead of in front of her. Then her eyes widened when she saw the bloody vomit coating him.
What? How? She sputtered.
He saw me getting sick and rushed over to help, I supplied. Then I let out a small, shaky laugh. And got caught in your web for his trouble, as you can see. Her deep brown eyes narrowed as she looked at where Ian had been standing before and where he was now.
No one can move that fast, she said,
almost to herself.
Except me,
he replied, an edge in his tone.
Now if you'd be so good as to release us.
Her gaze met mine.
Not before you prove your claim.
Ian ripped his shirt open with the hand that wasn't glued to Shun Chong's magical trap. I wasn't sure where he was going with that, or why he ripped his jacket off next. Then I saw him grab his three-pronged weapon, the falling fabric concealing what he did from Shun Chong's gaze, and sucked in an appalled breath. He tricked me. He intended to fight her all along. Ian threw the trident head to the ground, and the breath exploded out of me as if I'd been hit by a battering ram.
Not going to repeat my vows while covered in red dragon vomit, he said,
using his jacket to wipe the last of the smears from his bare chest. Then he used the clean side of it to wipe my face, too.
Beautiful as always,
he said with a hard little smile when he was finished. Then he gave a disparaging glance at Shun Chong.
She'll need a hands-free. Or have you forgotten what a repetition of the ceremony entails?
Shun Chong looked at me as she said the necessary words to draw the power out of the web. When it faded, I dropped out of the air and landed in Ian's arms. He held me for a second, glancing over at the nearby gates as if contemplating running for it with me slung over his shoulder. Then, with another twisting smile, he set me on my feet and picked up the weapon he'd so recently flung to the ground. I knew how much he didn't want to do this, which is why I was surprised when he didn't hesitate before slicing his palm open with the sharp silver prong of the trident's tip.
By my blood, I declare that you are my wife,
he said, then held out his bloody hand and the weapon to me. I was the one who trembled when I accepted the weapon. I'd never in all the long years of my life expected to do this with anyone, let alone him. Even though it was a farce, it still felt more momentous than I could handle. By my blood, I said, as I sliced a line into my palm, and then grasped his hand so the vow was made, while our blood mingled together. I declare that you are my husband. A soft sound escaped Shun Chong, and she closed her eyes. The two enforcers didn't. They shifted and flicked their gaze around as if trying to alleviate their boredom.
Their apathy didn't matter. We'd made the vow in front of witnesses.
That was all it took for a vampire marriage to be valid. And forever.
You were telling the truth, Shun Chong whispered. He really is your husband.
Ian grunted,
Took me by surprise too, love.
Her eyes snapped open.
Do not speak so familiar to me. I might no longer demand your life, but you are not my equal.
Oh, on that we agree,
Ian said, with a gleam in his eyes. After the price I'd paid to keep them from fighting, I wasn't about to let them start because of this. I quickly changed the subject. You never mentioned why you were here with a trap at the ready tonight, Shun Chong. She finally took her gaze off Ian.
A friend at the police station told me several people had reported seeing a troll dragging piles of gold through Central Park.
Her mouth curled down.
That sounded unusual enough to investigate.
Inwardly, I groaned. Nekton, his gift to me had turned out to cost far more than it was worth. Why hadn't he dropped his glamour before trekking back and forth through the park? Didn't he realize there would be onlookers, even at this late hour? What were you doing in New York to begin with? I pressed. I thought you were in Frankfurt. She glanced away.
I was mentoring some enforcers here. But it was your idea for us to leave Frankfurt and come here.
The female enforcer interrupted, before a laser-like look from Shun Chong shut her up. Ian began to laugh.
You were following Veritas, weren't you? How very stalkerish. Were you being modern and tracking her through credit cards and cell phone signals? Or did you go old school and use a locator spell?
Don't be ridiculous, I began, then stopped as a half-sheepish, half-angry expression crossed Shun Chong's face. You really were following me? I breathed, shocked. Why?
I was worried about you, she said in a defensive tone. You have been behaving erratically for months. Then you took a leave from your role as guardian. You have never done that before.
I hadn't, but I hadn't wanted anything to distract me from finding Ian and taking out Dagon, even a job I'd devoted most of my life to.
Everyone's entitled to a vacation.
This was no vacation.
Her angry swipe encompassed Ian.
You bound yourself in marriage. That is an act of lunacy.
We agree again,
Ian muttered.
And you know it,
Shun Chong continued, her eyes shooting angry darts at Ian before returning to me.
He is a raw-scorning whore. How could you marry him?
I was about to respond, but Ian got right up in Shun Chong's face.
Did we shag at some point and I forgot about it? Is that why you detest me so? Or is it because you're realizing your unrequited love for my wife will now forever stay unrequited?
Her eyes went from cocoa to bright green.
How dare— Enough, I said sharply. He dares because you've insulted him several times. That insults me too, and I will not have it. Your opinion is noted, Shun Chong. Now keep it to yourself.
The glamour demon dog began to scream louder, reminding me that we needed to get out of there. My blocking spell must be holding on the castle and the tunnel, but it would drop soon. I wouldn't mind if the remaining red dragon dealers came across Shun Chong, but I didn't want innocent vampires, witches, and mages to come face to face with their law guardian and two enforcers tonight. This child needs to be returned to the humans, I said, picking up the swaddled bundle. And as you can see, there is no troll and no gold, so the calls were a prank. The Red Dragon Den has been dealt with, and I'm tired. If there's nothing else...
There is more, Shun Chong said with another pointed glance at Ian. But it will wait.
Enchanting to meet you, he drawled. The four of us should have dinner soon.
Four of us, she repeated. There are five here.
Not them,
he said, dismissing the two enforcers.
I meant you, me, Veritas, and your raging case of jealousy.
Ian, I snapped, seeing Shun Chong bristle.
Gods, would this night not end without bloodshed between them? He patted my arm.
Don't fret. I'm finished with her for the moment. Now let's get this child settled, so we can start properly celebrating our most recent wedding night.
I felt Shun Chong's eyes on me as we walked out of Central Park, but that wasn't what unnerved me. It was the dangerous thrill I felt while I wondered if Ian had said that last part because he was still acting out his role, or if he was serious. Chapter 21. My thrill only lasted until my nausea came back, which happened in less than one block. There, I retched what looked like a murder scene on the sidewalk. After that, Ian had to carry both me and the little demon as he flew us back to the hotel. Walking would have been easier on my stomach than those aerial dips and whirls, but we didn't want anyone seeing where we were staying. An astute vampire tailing us might have been able to hear us, however. Between the demon screaming and my retching, I could understand why Ian kept cursing under his breath. What was less clear was why he hadn't just abandoned us both outside the park. By the time we finally made it back to our hotel suite, all three of us were splattered with vomit. Ian took us directly to the shower, turned it on, and set me and the tiny demon on the shower floor beneath the cleansing spray. I expected him to leave, but he unzipped my dress, helped me out of it, and hunkered down on the floor next to me.
"What are you doing?" I mumbled.
"Cleaning myself up while making sure you don't pass out and choke on your own vomit," he replied, handing me several washcloths. "Tell me if you need help."
"No innuendo about what parts you prefer to wash?" I said in a weak attempt at humor.
He gave me a sardonic smile.
"Between a shotgun wedding, that thing's constant squalling and being repeatedly soaked by your vomit, I'm temporarily out of innuendo."
I shouldn't have had anything left in me to still be drunk, but I must have been, because I did something I hadn't done in almost 600 years. I started to cry.
"I'm sorry. I really am. I feel so bad about all this."
Surprise number 10,000. Ian obviously couldn't stand a woman's tears. He was up in a flash, awkwardly dabbing at my face with a washcloth while patting my shoulder with his other hand.
Now stop that. It's not so bad, I suppose. I've been covered in blood and vomit countless times before, and I should probably get used to demon shrieks, considering the place I'll end up at."
"We'll free you from Dagon," I said. "But if we don't, I'll put in a good word for you with one of the guys down below."
Then I blew my nose into the washcloth before handing it back to Ian. Too late, I realized how gross that was, and snatched it back.
Sorry, I wasn't thinking."
"Clearly not," he said with a snort.
"Know someone in the bowels of the underworld, do you? Anything else you'd like to reveal before you sober up?"
"Gods, no," I moaned, dropping my head onto my knees. I should just pass out before I said something else I'd regret. A sharp poke on my ankle snapped my head back up again. The baby glared at me, tiny hands poised to poke me again if I kept ignoring it. Right, I had to drop its glamour and see what sort of demon we were dealing with.
"Reveal,"
I said. So exhausted, I resorted to spoken magic. At once, its chubby pink skin turned into feathers so short, fluffy, and soft they resembled fur. Then its nose and mouth elongated into a snout. Its eyes also changed, and its arms and legs stretched into something that resembled paws. It didn't have a tail, but it had two wings that began to tentatively wiggle when I reached out and patted its head.
"Oh, that's what you are," I said with relief. To Ian, I said, "Don't worry, he's harmless."
"Looks like he's a small Samoyed, with a lion's mane and wings," he replied, eyeing the creature.
"He's a Simargle," I said. "Simargles have all the loyalty of a dog combined with the best qualities of a demon."
"Would that be greed or narcissism?" he interjected.
"Combined with the sweet innocence of a child," I went on, glaring at him. "Receiving one is a great honor."
"Receiving?"
he said with a snort.
"Is that what the kids are calling it these days?"
He was so crass. "Simargles are created, not reproduced."
He rolled his eyes.
"Didn't know you hadn't had that talk yet. Well, little guardian, when one dog demon really likes another dog demon, they give each other a special hug and enough," I said, splashing him.
He only grinned.
"At least you've stopped crying."
He was right. Now I was irritated. It felt so much better than the exhaustion, worry, guilt, and nausea that had gripped me. Since I was mostly clean now, I picked up one of the cloths and began to wash all the various stains from the Simargal. He flinched under my touch, then relaxed when he saw I wasn't going to hurt him. Poor thing. He hadn't tried to run even when he expected pain. Now I wished I'd killed all the vampires who were helping to hold him prisoner. I hadn't been exaggerating when I said that Simargals were treasured because of how rare they were. To see one so misused made me furious. The Simargal moved his head to allow me to better access his ears when I cleaned behind them. Sweet creature was trying to please me, even though I'd given him no reason to trust me. He must consider me his new owner, since Simargals normally only changed hands when they were given a new protector. I kept washing until the Simargal's fur looked more silvery than ash-like, resisting the urge to turn the Simargal over so Ian could see how wrong his special hug comment had been. Simargals had no genitalia. The only reason I could tell this one identified as male was because of his ears. He'd groomed them to be pointy instead of more rounded, something male-identifying Simargals tended to do. Ian cocked his head. You treat it like it's fragile when it must be tough, else it wouldn't have survived. I gave him a level look. Just because he can endure hardship doesn't mean he shouldn't experience mercy. I suppose that's true, he said, holding my gaze. It's also why I didn't murder your friend tonight. The whiplash change in subject left me feeling dizzy. Or maybe that was the remaining intoxicants in my system. What? You're regretting what I've discovered about you. But you shouldn't, he said, stretching his legs out. If you hadn't been so blind drunk, you never would have revealed your role in Katie's rescue. Is that her name? The council hadn't bothered telling me when they'd handed down her death sentence. It is now. Ian's voice softened. Those sods only gave her a number when they spliced her genes to add ghoul DNA to a half-vampire makeup. But one of the soldiers they captured changed K-80 to Katie, so she'd have a real name. Cat and Bones kept it when they finally found her. I had to look away because of the sudden stab through my heart. Yes, names are important, I whispered, especially after you've been treated like a thing instead of a person. For a long time, I hadn't been considered worthy of a name either. That was another thing I owed Dagon for. Then, needing to stop those memories before they wrecked me in my weakened state, I added, But what does this have to do with you and Shunzhong? Something hard settled over his features. There are a few people I truly care about in this world. You already know Menkaris is one of them. Bones is another. And Katie is his wife's child. If I'd believed you'd assisted in Katie's execution, I would have murdered Shunzhong in front of you and considered it payback. Then I would have used my last command to ensure that you continued to help me.
The temperature of the water hadn't changed, but I suddenly felt much, much colder. The Simargal felt the new icy lethalness coming from Ian, too. He huddled behind me, making barely audible whimpering noises. Then, just like that, Ian's expression cleared, and that frigid tension shattered.
But you helped, Katie. Could have cost you your job, and even your life if you were caught. Yet you did it, and you didn't even know her. Weren't friends with her parents, either. In truth, I can't understand why you did it. Cat and Bones might not realize the debt they owe you, but I do. And I couldn't repay that debt by murdering someone you care for.
He paused to let out a self-deprecating laugh.
Even if it meant becoming the living embodiment of my worst nightmares. A married man.
I was touched by the deep sense of honor behind his actions. Once again, he'd chosen to sacrifice himself, rather than take the easy way out. Ian might be extremely selective in whom he gave his loyalty to, but once he gave it, he upheld it with everything he had. Menkaris and Bones are very lucky to have you as their friend, I said with the utmost sincerity. Then, because I knew he'd hate to be continually praised for his good deed, I moved on. And once again, let me state that I renounce all my rights as your wife. Seriously, you'll celebrate our victory over Dagon with a new carnival orgy on my dime, promise.
So you say,
he replied with a barest smile. I promised with a blood vow.
And when vampires make a blood vow, they don't break it. His scoff was instant.
Vampires break blood vows all the time.
I don't, I said firmly.
No, you don't.
His tone was soft, but the new intensity in it made me shiver.
Someone like you wouldn't give your word unless you intended to keep it.
Then he reached out, tracing a finger over the curve of my jaw before catching a drop of water that clung to my lower lip. I don't know why it hadn't occurred to me before that he was half naked, and I was clad only in my bra and panties.
Yes, I was drunk, but I should have been aware of that,
especially with how the water clung to his bare upper body, as if loath to abandon the deeply rippled muscles.
Maybe I hadn't noticed before because I'd felt safe.
I could hardly remember the last time someone had made me feel that way. And I couldn't blame it on the red dragon I'd consumed. I'd been drunk before and had never spilled any of the secrets I'd told Ian tonight. No, for reasons that defied logic, I must trust Ian on a level that I hadn't trusted anyone since Tenok. It made no sense, yet I couldn't deny it. Not with so many of my secrets laid bare before him. But now that sense of safety changed, turning into something else. Something far stronger and not at all safe, considering the ferocity of what I was feeling.
You shouldn't touch me like that, I whispered.
Why?
His voice was as low as mine, but the look in his eyes wasn't gentle. It was full of the same dark wildness that seethed inside me.
Afraid I'll take advantage of you in your inebriated state?
No, I said, moving closer to him.
If you keep touching me like that, I'll lose control and take advantage of you.
His deep, sensual laugh felt like it brushed my most sensitive nerve endings, leaving them aching for more. When he leaned closer, I met him halfway, and when I slid my hands over his chest, I felt how much he wanted me in the sudden clenching of his muscles and the changing of his eyes to purest emerald. That's why I was shocked when he grasped my hands and set me back.
No. You've already done many things you'll regret when you sober up tomorrow. I won't let this be one of them.
You're rejecting me? I asked with complete disbelief. A harsh laugh escaped him.
Yes, and if my cock could talk, it would be screaming its disagreement. But while you've been more honest with me drunk than you've ever been sober, I don't know if this is real. And if it isn't, then I don't want it.
He was serious. I felt it in the finality of the way he set me back. How admirable of him, damn it. I leaned against the shower wall and let out a frustrated sigh. Your unbreakable sense of honor is your biggest damn secret, isn't it? He laughed more naturally this time.
Never tell anyone. My reputation would be ruined.
Then he touched my face with affection instead of enticement.
And your biggest secret is that you're demon-branded, like I am.
Maybe it was my exhaustion.
Maybe everything I drank hits me with its final best shot.
Either way, I did what I should have done before I revealed too many of my secrets.
I passed out.
Chapter 22
Nip. Nip.
Stop it, I muttered, swiping at whatever was nipping me. A frightened squeak made me open my eyes and sit up.
Immediately, I wished I hadn't.
Even that small movement made my head clench as if it were being compressed by a vice. Through barely opened lids, I saw the Simargle dart under the covers.
I didn't remember getting tucked into bed, let alone the Simargle getting tucked in with me, but here we both were.
Now I terrified the poor thing. I'm sorry, I said, wincing because each word made that pitiless hammering in my head even louder. But the Simargle was still shivering beneath the covers, and I hated that I'd scared him. I'm not mad at you, I continued, trying to croon as I petted the blankets over him. It's okay. You can come out. Slowly, his head peeked out. I smiled encouragingly, even though it felt like my face split from the effort. It had been nearly 1,000 years since I'd last had a hangover. It was every bit as horrible as I'd remembered. Worse, even. Had I longed for death to stop the pain like I did now? Finally, the Simargal came all the way out from beneath the blankets. Once he did, he looked beseechingly at the door.
What? I asked in confusion. You don't need to go out to pee. You don't have those parts.
The Simargal's look-at-the-door-look-at-me gestures grew more frantic. Something had him agitated. I didn't know what it was, but it obviously involved the other side of the door. I got up, then instantly grabbed my head because it felt like he was about to explode. I only managed not to throw up because the thought of how much that would hurt scared me pukeless. Worse, the sun was up. All that light streaming through the windows made me recoil, as if the rays posed a real danger, like all the old vampire myths claimed. By the gods, had the sun always been that horribly, hideously bright? A knock on the door felt like it boomed through to the back of my skull.
Room service, a male voice called out.
Had Ian ordered breakfast? If so, then sensing the hotel attendant must be what had rattled the Simargal. He didn't like strangers, judging by how he cringed away from the door.
Coming, I mumbled, deciding I could use a sip from the attendant's neck anyway. Maybe some fresh, clean blood would help with the relentless pounding in my head.
I was almost at the door when the Simargal threw his paws around my leg and used all his strength to try and stop me.
What? I began.
Then looked at the door with new understanding. I didn't sense anything threatening on the other side, but everything the Simargal was doing warned danger.
Be right there, I called out,
changing tactics as I gestured for the Simargal to hide under the bed. Once he did, I started looking for my weapons.
Just have to get my robe.
The door burst off its hinges and nearly hit me as it flew across the room. Then a grinning attendant pushed a meal cart into the bedroom. Before he'd finished crossing the threshold, vampires started to come out from beneath it, so that the small cart reminded me of the clown car back at the Polish whorehouse. They weren't just vampires, I realized, when my defensive spell bounced off the first ones it hit. They were also true-born witches, a.k.a. demon-kin, and that made them very dangerous. My freezing spell wouldn't work on them. Neither would most of my magic, and I was hardly up to fighting form when it came to conjuring something more powerful. That's why I threw myself at them and began to brawl the old-fashioned way. The other bedroom door burst open. Ian, clad in only a pair of black jeans, joined the fray. After a few moments of catching his movements out of the corner of my eye, I realized he must have been holding back in our first fight. He'd been formidable but not unbeatable then. Now he looked like a grim reaper with terrible anger management issues. Soon I was only getting the stragglers because Ian tore into the brunt of the attackers with such effective, gleeful viciousness. It left body parts flying and much of the hotel room demolished.
Love a good slaughter in the morning, he shouted before his next aerial assault drove five of them through the wall and into the next hotel room.
It left me facing four, and I managed to take care of two of them before the bed flipped over, revealing the cringing, whimpering Simargal.
There you are,
the ivory-skinned, Nordic-looking vampire exclaimed.
Boss's tracking spell on your blood wasn't wrong after all.
I dove in front of him, snatching up the Simargal and holding him between my back and the window.
Come closer and I'll carve out your heart, I warned, holding my very bloody silver knife in front of me for emphasis.
Nordic Vamp and his swarthier brunette buddy exchanged a glance before they looked at the food cart behind them. It was vibrating and magic tasted heavy in the air around it. That meant it probably contained a portal. How else could a dozen or so vampire witches use it to get in this room?
Why don't you stop fighting?
Nordic Vamp suddenly said.
All we want is the source. Give it to us and we'll let you live.
His inky-haired companion grunted.
That's not what the boss ordered.
The blondes gave him a look that said, I'm lying, stupid. Then he smiled at me as if I hadn't noticed the subtext.
Come on, you don't want to die for a furry, winged version of heroin, do you? And believe me, your other friend is coming with us, one way or the other. I've seen his picture on the demon boards. He's got a bounty on his head that'd make leveling this hotel worth it to get him.
I gave a quick, calculated look around, wincing when I heard more walls break in the next room. Ian and I could probably win this fight, but at the cost of how many innocent lives? We couldn't let this brawl spill out to the rest of the hotel floor. Dagon had put a bounty out on Ian. These mercenaries wouldn't worry over collateral human damage to collect it. The wall nearest me suddenly burst open, and Ian tumbled into the room. He had two vampires by the neck when a vicious twist narrowed that number down to one. Then, in an impressively athletic move, he punted the head he'd twisted off while simultaneously breaking the back of the vampire in his arms.
Go!
He cried out when that head sailed right between the two vampires opposite me. Then he ripped the arms off the vampire he still held and began stabbing him with the rapidly withering limbs. Some people were cold and ruthless fighters. Others were reckless yet talented. Ian combined all those traits with a joy that made watching him feel like taking in a blood-soaked ballet. I could watch you fight all day long, I said with complete sincerity. But more vampires were starting to come out from the food cart. I was right. The damned thing was a portal. This had to end before anyone got hurt who didn't deserve to. I had never wanted to do this next thing in front of Ian, especially with an additional audience, but I had to. If I didn't, I'd be just like these mercenaries. Fine with sacrificing the lives of innocent people to suit my own purposes. I set the Simargle down and used my knife to slice open my hand, running it over the Simargle's gray head. Then I sliced it again and ran my blood over Ian's arm. Stop fighting them, I told Ian, as more vampires came from the portal in the food cart. Go with them instead. Remember what I told you last night, because I will see you again soon. Then I stabbed the silver blade into my heart and twisted it.
No!
I heard Ian scream before agony stole his voice away. I felt Ian clutching me. Then the new horrible pain of fire erupting all over me. Ian let me go when the fire intensified, which was a good thing, because I exploded. I didn't feel anything after that. Chapter 23. Dying is terrifying the first dozen or so times you do it. It flat out takes a while to get used to being a disembodied form flying toward the cusp of eternity. And don't get me started on how horrifying it is when you first see the Warden of the Gateway to the Netherworld. Let's just say it's a good thing you no longer have bowels or you'd empty them all over yourself. But hundreds more of times later? I only felt a mild sense of trepidation as I zoomed toward the river that separated this world from the next. Of course, there wasn't really a river. That was a construct of my own mind. So was the image I first saw of the figure that stood at its bank. The image changed according to individual beliefs. If I worshipped ancient Egyptian gods like Menkaure's did, I'd see Ochen the ferryman. Right now I saw the first god I'd ever worshipped, and shuddered. Then that image dissolved into the reality of a tall man with bronze skin, silver hair streaked with gold and blue, and eyes that flashed so brightly with silver, I couldn't see their actual color. When he saw me, he gave the barest shake of his head, as if disappointed that I'd died again. But before I was launched back to the land of the living, I said, wait. I hoped he'd listen. Sometimes he did, sometimes he didn't. His hands beckoned me forward. I felt myself zoom up until I faced him. Thankfully, he'd decided to listen this time.
What do you seek from me?
He asked. I'd long since ceased being afraid of him, but I'd never felt comfortable with him. Whatever name religions gave him, the Warden of the Gateway to the Netherworld was not a relaxing figure. I need an hour to pass in my world, but no more than two, before you return me to the ones I marked with my blood. He didn't smile. That would be too human a reaction. But the faintest flicker in his expression made me wonder if I'd amused him.
Do you?
I'd once begged him for something he didn't give me, so I didn't know what my odds were with this request. Unlike the other one, this was small, and hopefully he was in a generous mood. Please, I said, this is very important. He extended a hand, and a small narrow vessel appeared on the river.
You know the cost of a bargain with me, and what you forfeit if you fail. Oh, I'll fill your boat, I said with grim purpose.
Without another word, I was zooming backward, and the warden, the river, and everything else faded from my sight. Then brightness exploded in my vision, and I saw the tops of buildings as if I were falling from a great height. I instinctively braced, but I didn't have a body, so I felt no impact when I hit one of them. I went through several floors, everything blurring, before I found myself looking down on an underground parking garage.